Leviticus 25:10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." This is the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast with Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. I'd like to welcome you here today and hope everybody is having a good day so far. I would like to take just a moment to invite you to visit with us at Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We're located on Baird's Creek Road. That's in Vilas. We're just probably 3 miles outside of the city limits of Boone, the town city limits, and on Baird's Creek Road. Actually, it is in Vilas. We are just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. Most people know where that is, but it's on the Fosco side of town going out on 105. So we would also like to direct you to our church website, mountlebanonbc.org. We have the service time, schedule, church information, all of that stuff available there. But it is good to be here this morning. Good morning, Noah. How are you today?
I'm doing great today.
Good. Thank you for being here and helping us and running the board.
I'd like to welcome the listeners we have here on AM 1450 WATA right here in Boone, and also those who listen in on Saturdays at 9 a.m. on 690 WZAP in Bristol, Virginia.
All right. We appreciate that. I would like to say, if you're a first-time listener, we are always having people say, you know, I just heard you, just found out you're on the radio. If you are a first-time listener to Blessings of Liberty, what I have been doing since the first of the year, I'm taking the first part of this year and looking at 28 great ideas that change the world. This is found in a book that I read now, I guess it's a year and a half, 2 years ago, called The 5,000-Year Leap by Cleon Skousen. And that is at the National Center for Constitutional Studies, a great little book. Ronald Reagan said about this book, he said, "The National Center for Constitutional Studies is doing a fine public service in educating Americans about the principles of the Constitution." And it's a great book that just gives unbiased the history of the United States of America. And these 28 principles, we've been looking at it. I'm not really teaching the book through line by line, but what I've been doing is taking these principles and seeing if they're scriptural. I have heard all my life that America is a Christian nation, or that we have a Judeo-Christian heritage in America unlike any other nation in the world. And my question is, and I'm always questioning everything, and I do not necessarily believe that that is bad. I believe we ought to ask ourselves, is this truth? Is this right? And so I've been studying this for several years now, and I'm continually asking the question, is this right? Is it really a Christian nation? Is our government, is our Constitution, is our Declaration of Independence really based on the Bible? And from what I've studied and found out, I really believe that in its beginnings it was, and our founders intended for it to continue to be. Just let me give a little summary, maybe bringing us up to where we are today. So far, we've looked at 11 of these principles, and I'm not going to go back through and comment on every one of them because that would take all of the time today. But we've looked so far at the principle of natural law. Natural law is just simply God's law. The founders recognized and seen that God's law was the best law, and they just called it natural law. These things are, as it says in the Declaration of Independence, self-evident. Everybody should be able to recognize and see this. So they believed in natural law. Number two, freedom can only survive among a virtuous and moral people. That means a people that have a mind and a heart just to do what's right. And so our nation, our laws are based upon that, doing the right thing, righteousness versus unrighteousness. Therefore, number three, third principle we looked at, we must have virtuous and moral leaders. We must have virtuous and moral leaders. Leadership, that has a desire to do the right thing. And, of course, we could get off track there a long time today. I do believe we have some virtuous and moral leaders in this country, but I also believe we have some that are not virtuous and moral. And, of course, we reap bad from that. Number four, the role of religion. The Bible, God's Word, the founders, they thought nothing about it. Nobody stood up and said, now we can't have the Bible in here. We can't refer to the Bible. We can't refer to the Creator because that might hurt somebody's feelings. They thought nothing about religion, talking about in the founding principles of this nation. Next, we get into the Declaration of Independence. We've looked in the text of that several weeks in a row now. And we looked at the role of the Creator, the God of the Bible. That's who it's referring to. It wasn't some generic God, but it was the God of the Bible that they referred to. Number six, we looked at the principle of the subject that all men are created equal. Number seven, equal rights, not equal things. We're not a socialist country. We're not a communist country. The Declaration of Independence says we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. We looked at man's unalienable rights. To be unalienable means non-transferable. If the government says we're going to take these rights away, well, they can't do that. They don't have the power. They don't have the authority to do that. You cannot give these away. You can forfeit your unalienable rights by committing some crime, such as murder or treason or something along those lines. You can forfeit your rights, but nobody can just take your rights. Our rights, again, are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which is tied in with the ability to own and obtain and develop property. I'll not expound on that today. But man's unalienable rights were the eighth principle. Number nine, the role of revealed law, which basically just says all good law, all of our good laws in America are based upon God's law. Once upon a time, to be a lawyer in this country, you had to study the Bible. There was no way around it. They said if you're going to study the law, you need to know the original lawgiver. And so you had to study the Bible. Then the 10th principle, the sovereignty of the people, which just simply says in the first of the Constitution, we the people. Number 11, this is what we looked at last time, who can alter the government, and we refer to the part of the Declaration of Independence where it says that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. So who can alter the government? The people can alter the government because that's where the source of power comes from. And I referred to Romans chapter 13 in verse number 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. That's what I was talking about last time we were in here. And talking about how the higher powers refers to government. Higher powers in America refers to the Constitution, which is the law of the land. I don't know how many of you have been hearing on the news about Donald Trump. And, of course, he's thinking about running for president. And he has brought up this subject of whether or not Mr. Obama has a birth certificate. I heard him talking on, I believe it was Fox News the other day, and he was making the case about how important it is that the president produce a birth certificate, that he's never produced a birth certificate, and everybody in America to do anything has to produce a birth certificate. And so why hasn't the president produced a birth certificate? Now, you may be new to this subject, but I have been saying and talking about this since before Mr. Obama was elected to be the president, and others also have been talking about this as well. Why even is it important? What does it matter? I've heard some people say, well, what does it matter whether or not? That's just even dumb to bring it up now. He's the president. Deal with it. Well, let me tell you why it's important. It is important because, according to the Constitution of the United States of America, no person except a natural-born citizen shall become president of the United States of America. We see this in Article Chapter 2, Section Number 1. Now, either every soul should be subject unto the higher powers, or do you pick and choose and say, well, if you're rich and you've got a lot of money and you got a lot of political influence, you can get by with not obeying the law, but the rest of us have to. You know, when I played Little League Baseball, my parents had to produce a birth certificate to prove my age. And so, you know, if you have to do that to play Little League and to get your driver's license and to enroll in college and all the other things, shouldn't you have to produce it to be the president of the United States? I think you should. I think it's important. I think it's interesting that it's just now coming to the forefront over 2 years after the election, but that's how it is. Today, we're going to look at the 12th principle that we find in the 5,000-year leap. The United States of America shall be a republic. The United States of America shall be a republic. America, our government, is a republic. The Pledge of Allegiance to the flag says this: I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. That's talking about the flag. Anytime you see the flag of the United States of America, it stands for a republican form of government. I want to share just a paragraph with you out of the 5,000-year leap. There's an excellent chapter in this book about the difference between a republic and a democracy. And I realize I've talked about this before on the blessings of liberty, but so many people are confused on this, I believe it is worth talking about again. It says in this book, it says there are many reasons why the founders wanted a republican form of government rather than a democracy. Theoretically, a democracy requires the full participation of the masses of the people in the legislative or decision-making processes of the government. A democracy, a good example would be if you had 10 people, they were stranded together on an island, and they had to make a life and death decision, and they came together and they said, we need to decide what to do. Either we're going to stay here and wait for help, or we're going to build a boat, and we're going to get on that boat, and we're going to try to find land, get rescued, whatever. And so instead of one person making the decision, all of the people would decide, all of the people would equally have a vote, and the majority vote there would rule. Wouldn't matter if it's a good idea or a bad idea. That's irrelevant. Democracy. That's what democracy is. All the people have equal say in the decision-making processes of the government. Now, it goes on and it says, this has never worked. And here's why. It says, because the people become so occupied with their daily tasks that they will not properly study the issues, nor will they take the time to participate in extensive hearings before the vote is taken. Now, if you had 10 people and you had a decision to make and everybody voted, well, that would work fine. That would be all right. But if you have 10,000 people, if you have 10 million people, or even if you have 1,000, just 1,000 people, you can't get two people to, you couldn't get those 10 to agree on something. And so democracy only works when, or it is designed for everybody to have an equal say. But what happens is that people don't take time. They get busy in their daily lives. They don't read the newspaper. I've heard people say, heard people say last week, well, did the government shut down? I don't know. I don't keep up with it. People just don't, you know, they're out here, they're working, taking their kids to school, going to school, trying to pay the bills, trying to get to the doctor's office. And you know, you get caught up in life. And people don't pay attention to what the issues are or what's going up on in government. So what it always boils down to, and let me say today, democracy is not a new thing. You would think, listening to the news, that it's a new thing. All the people in Tunisia, the people in Egypt, the people in Libya, democracy, democracy. There's a whole lot of talk about democracy, but democracy is not a new thing by any means. It has been around for thousands of years. The Greeks, the ancient Greeks, even before the time of Christ, they tried democracy. They tried a democratic form of government in their city-states. It always failed each and every time and ended in tyranny because everybody couldn't always come together to make the decisions. It ended up a very elite few making the decisions and ruling over the rest of the people. I have made this case before. Democracy ends up in mobocracy, mob rule, majority rule. On the other hand, we have a republic, and that is what the United States of America is. There's a huge difference between a democracy, rule of men, rule of majority, mobocracy, and a republic. A republic is a republican form of government, is a representative type of government. We elect our leaders. They go to Raleigh, they go to Washington, or on a local level, you know, right here in the town of Boone. But we elect our leaders. They're our representatives, not just to go and do anything they want to do, but they're to go and uphold the law of the land and fulfill the proper role of government, which is to protect men's rights, to protect men's freedom. It is representative law, but it is rule of law, or rule by representatives based on a law. That law in America is the Constitution of the United States of America. But this republic, democracy, it is so muddled in the day and time in which we live. The last State of the Union given by the president, his speech back in January, I watched that, and I watched the rebuttal at the end by the Republican Paul Ryan. And in the president's State of the Union speech, he mentioned many, many times, I don't know exactly how many, but I noticed several times he talked about America and our democracy, democracy. Well, Paul Ryan came on after that in the answer to the president's State of the Union speech, and he mentioned several times, almost in direct contrast to what the president had just said, he kept talking about our republic, our republic, our republic. So somebody somewhere doesn't even know what type of government we have in the United States of America. And the more I study this, the way it was intended to be, the more I feel like I'm studying a crime scene of what America was supposed to be, but it's not anymore. I truly believe if George Washington or Ben Franklin, if they could come back from the dead and can see what was happening in America today, they would say, what in the world happened? What have you done with the republic? It's gone. It's not very much anything like it was intended to be, just in form. Here's what the Bible says. Psalms chapter 11 and verse number 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I don't have a Bible with me this morning. Noah, He's over there where he can find stuff out. Go to Exodus chapter number 18. I'll get you to read a verse or two in just a moment. He's got something on that side. But the Bible says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Any institution, no matter what it is, I don't care if it's the fire department or if it's the Kiwanis Club or if it's a church, if it is the United States government, any institution, a home, your home, my home, it is only going to last as long as its foundation lasts. I don't care how big the building is. I don't care how much money was spent on it. I don't care how much was put into the architecture or the rafters in the building. It does not matter. If you wipe away the foundation, the whole building is eventually going to crumble and fall down. The biblical example is a republic, a representative form of government with an established law. Not that the representatives can just go and do anything that they want to do, but they represent the people according to the law, and that is what we found in the Bible as well. Noah, read Exodus 18, verse 21, and then verse number 23 over there.
All right. It says, "Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetous, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens." And verse 23 says, "If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace."
All right, so there we see Moses' father-in-law, and he told Moses, he said, choose men out to rule over the children of Israel. We're talking about a million plus people. We're talking about a whole nation. And they were all coming to Moses and standing in line and trying to hear what he had to say about this matter and that matter. And Jethro said, this is never going to work. You're going to wear yourself out. Choose representatives. Get somebody, get good men, men that fear God. He said, and put men over 1,000 and men over 100 and men over 50 and men over 10. This was their representatives. Then if they had a problem, they'd start local, and then they'd go to the next level and the next level. And if nobody could decide what the law was, then they would eventually end up going to Moses. And God said, if you do this, you know, you're going to prosper. You're going to last. If you don't, you're not going to last. And so these rulers, these representatives, they were not there to just judge according to their will, but to follow God's law. In order for a republic to last, it has to have a solid foundation. It has to have a set law. Our nation will never last unless we get back to the Constitution. It's kept us. It's done us, served us very well for over 200 years now. But if we do away with the Constitution, then there's no law. There's just anarchy. There's just mob rule. There's just whoever is in power at the time doing what they want to do. Our government is a system of checks and balances. If we do away with that, there's just going to be anarchy. It'll be like in the Bible in Judges 21 and 25, "And every man did that which was right in his own eyes." And we in America today, and I'm not just saying this by myself, but I mean, I think there's a pretty good consensus in the land that we are in a mess. And if something drastic does not take place, we are going to continue to go down, 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 our economy, our dollar, on and on and on. But while we're in a mess, and your average citizen, you know, we're out here working, trying to pay the bills, all this kind of stuff, the fox has got in the hen house. And the government, the federal government, has given away the store. And we, everybody, all across the board, this is wrong. Yes, this has been wrong, what's been done to us, but there's nothing we can do about it except get back to the foundation. It's not something that has just happened, this transition from a republic to a democracy. found a little something in this book, The 5,000-Year Leap. It talks about in the early 1900s that approximately 100 people met in New York in 1905 and organized what they called the Intercollegiate Socialist Society. Chapters were established on more than 60 college and university campuses, coast to coast. And in time, the leaders of this movement was Harry Laidler and Norman Thomas. Laidler explained that the ISS was set up to throw light on the worldwide movement of industrial democracy known as socialism. It is no accident that the president wants you to think that our government is based upon democracy. The reason he wants you to think that our government should be a democracy is because he's a socialist and wants to take from the rich and give to the poor and level the, you know, and all this bunch of stuff. Our government was never set up to be a democracy. It was set up to be a republic. When the Constitutional Convention was over, and Benjamin Franklin walked out on the street up in Philadelphia, a lady came up to him and said, "Sir, what have you come up with?" And he said, "Ma'am, a republic, if you can keep it. We've not done a good job at keeping it. There's this continual bombardment talking about democracy, not just in America, but also throughout the whole world. And democracy, socialism, communism, it's all in the same basket." My goodness, time is quickly getting away. I'm trying to think of what I can share with you. This is from the United States Army's training manual published in 1928, explaining the difference between a democracy and a republic. United States Army training manual published in 1928 gave the following characteristics of a democracy. It said that democracy is a government of the masses, that authority is derived through mass meetings or any other form of direct expression. We've seen this going on in Wisconsin, Ohio, Indiana, mass meetings, union turnout. I mean, we've seen this going on in our own county. Results in mobocracy. An attitude toward property is communistic, negating property rights. I'm not saying this. This is from the United States Army Training Manual published in 1928. The attitude toward law is that the will of the majority shall regulate, whether it be based upon deliberation or government by passion, prejudice, and impulse without restraint or regard to consequences. I think we've seen that go on in Egypt. We want Mubarak gone. We want Mubarak gone. Now he's gone. They still don't have anything settled. They're upset. They're blaming the army. They're continuing to riot and all of these things without regard to consequences. And then it says it results in demagogism, license, agitation, discontent, anarchy. Then it goes on to define what a republic is. It says in a republic, it says authority is derived through the election by the people of public officials best fitted to represent them. Attitude toward property is respect for laws and individual rights and a sensible economic procedure. I won't have time to go through all of this. It said it results in statesmanship, liberty, reason, justice, contentment, and progress. We need to get back to our constitutional republic. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? There's nothing you can do if the foundations are destroyed. I'm thankful people are paying attention more than they have been, but I still say we need revival. We need to get back to God and His truth and His word. We've got to close. Thank you for listening in. Noah's got the contact information.
This has been Blessings of Liberty with Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. The church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can contact us through the church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's mtlebanonbc.org.